قال إبليس said فبما أغويتني. So because you have put me in error. He's saying this to Allah. That فَبِمَا ba over here is of sabab, meaning reason, that because of the fact that أغويتني, you have misguided me. You, O Allah, have misguided me. أغويتني from إغواء, غين واويا, غوا, to go astray. And إغواء is to lead astray, to put someone in error. So we see over here that Iblis is blaming Allah, or Iblis is claiming that Allah is the one who has misled him. And in one way, this statement is correct, because إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah is the one who sends astray whoever he wants, and he guides whomever he wants. All right. In Surah Hud, verse number 34, Nuh alayhi salam said to his people that my sincere advice to you is not going to be of any benefit to you. إِنْ كَانَ اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يُغْوِيَكُمْ. If Allah intends to send you astray. So yes, Allah guides whom He wills and sends astray whom He wills. However, Allah does not wrong anyone in what He decrees. When Allah sends someone astray, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not wronging them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not doing dhulm on them. That is what they deserve. That is what they have brought upon themselves by their own actions and choices. Because who is it that Allah sends astray? Those who choose deviation, not those who choose guidance, not those who wish for guidance. No way. فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. When they choose deviation, then yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes their hearts to be deviated. So the statement is correct that أَغْوَيْتَنِي, you misguided me. The statement is correct because no one can be guided and no one can be misguided except by the will of Allah. However, using this statement over here to blame Allah and to not take responsibility, that is not correct. All right? Because Allah does not force misguidance on anyone. Okay? It is only when a person chooses misguidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends them astray. Like over here, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala force Iblis to not prostrate to Adam? No. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not give Iblis a chance to repent? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him that why did you not prostrate? And Iblis could have admitted over there and could have apologized. But he did not. He chose misguidance. So yes, everything happens by the knowledge of Allah. Everything happens by the will of Allah. Allah already knows. But decree, divine decree, should never be used as an argument to justify one's wrongdoing. Okay? Yani the statement is correct, but its use is not correct. All right? Yani using it as an argument to deflect responsibility or to justify one's wrongdoing, that is not correct. If you think about it, the angels did not blame Allah. That, why are you asking us something that you never taught us? Right? Alayhi subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam the names of all things. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented those things before the angels. And He asked the angels that tell me the names of these things. The angels did not say, oh Allah, why are you asking us something, the knowledge of which you did not give us? They did not blame Allah. What did they do? They said, subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana. They showed humility. So Iblis said, fabima aghwaytani, because you misguided me. You asked me to do something you knew I would not do. You asked me to do something that is beneath me. You should not have given me that command in the first place. Right? He's blaming Allah. He says, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ. Surely I will indeed sit for them, meaning for the Bani Adam, where صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, on your path that is al-mustaqim, that is straight. Since I am here because of Adam, he is the reason that I went astray, I am going to mislead him. I am going to take revenge from all of his children. And subhanAllah, this is how some people are. That they never take responsibility for their actions. It's everyone else's fault. It's the fault of the entire world. Everyone is wrong except them. And they justify their evil actions by putting blame on others. This is iblisiyya. This is the way of shaitan, to not take responsibility for one's actions and to put blame on others all of the time. The command was very simple. Just one sajda, prostrate to Adam, right? And it wasn't just Iblis who was there. All of the angels were there. So it wasn't that he was being singled out to do something that was incredibly hard. No, it was just very simple command, very simple instruction that everyone was doing. And he could have easily done it. And if he had done it, it would be very simple and straightforward. And he thinks it would be very simple and straightforward. But look at how he complicated the situation for himself. He refused. He blamed Allah. He turned into a vengeful enemy who is relentlessly acting on his jealousy and enmity without any rest. Subhanallah. He said, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ لَأَقْعُدَنَّ from قَافْ عَيْنْ دَالْ قَعَدَ قُعُود to sit. And لَأَقْعُدَنَّ, there's an oath over here. Okay? That by Allah, I swear, I will sit. And he vowed to mislead people. And why will I sit on the straight path for them? Meaning in order to turn them away from the straight path. In order to prevent them from going on the straight path. And I will exert all of my effort to turn them away, to hinder them, to create obstacles for them. لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Now what is your path which is straight? This is the path of Allah. That is straight. Meaning the path, the way of knowing the truth, right? Al-ilmu bil-haq. Knowing what the truth is. And wal-amal bi. And acting by it. Living by it. This is the straight path. So shaitan said that I am going to sit on your straight path. Meaning I will turn them away from the straight path when they come to it. When they want to learn what the truth is, I will confuse it for them. I will create doubts for them. I will make them disinterested in learning about the truth. I will distract them through so many other things. And if they do learn what the truth is, then I will not let them act upon it. I will make desires very attractive to them. I will tell them to do what is haram, what is sinful, and I will prevent them from doing what is halal, from obeying Allah. And the fact is that shaitan has no authority over people, right? He just sits and waits on the straight path. That as soon as somebody tries to come on the straight path, shaitan turns them away. And shaitan has no authority, but people still obey him, simply at his suggestion. The Prophet ﷺ said that shaitan sits in the paths of the son of Adam. He sits waiting for him in the path to Islam. And he says, meaning when a person wants to accept Islam, shaitan says, will you accept Islam and leave your religion and the religion of your forefathers? So what does the person do? He disobeys shaitan and accepts Islam. Then after that, does shaitan give up? Does shaitan say, oh, I've lost this person? No. Then shaitan sits waiting for him on the path to hijrah. And when a person intends to make the hijrah, shaitan says, will you make the hijrah and leave behind your land and sky? The person who makes hijrah is like a horse that is tethered to a peg. And no matter where you go, you'll always be missing, you know, your home. How can you do that? But the person disobeys him and makes the hijrah. Then does shaitan quit? No, he does not quit. Then he sits waiting for him on the path to jihad. And he says, and when a person wants to do jihad, shaitan says to him, will you fight in jihad when it will cost you your life and your wealth? If you fight, you will be killed. Your wife will marry someone else. And your wealth will be divided among people. But the person disobeys shaitan and fights in the way of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said that whoever does that, then he has a right from Allah that Allah will admit him into paradise. Whoever is killed, he has a right from Allah that Allah will admit him into paradise. And the hadith continues. So basically, what we learn from it is that no matter what a person tries to do, anything good, anything in the way of Allah, big or small, if a person tries to learn or a person tries to act by it, shaitan is waiting there to distract him, to turn him away, to make things hard for him, to make him worry, to make him anxious, so that a person cannot do what he's doing peacefully, cannot enjoy the blessings of Allah, cannot enjoy the worship of Allah. And shaitan is always trying to hinder us, to turn us away. So be aware. لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ Then I will come to them. Now again, there's an oath over here. لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ Surely, by Allah, I swear, I will indeed come to them. To who? To the children of Adam. From where? مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ From before them. وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ And from behind them. وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ And from their right-hand sides. وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ And also from their left-hand sides. Allahu Akbar. And here, Shaytan is openly laying out his plans and letting them be known. He's announcing his plans as to how he is going to harm humanity. How he's going to lead them astray. How he's going to hinder them from the straight path. And basically what he's saying is that I will come at them from every direction. From before, from behind, from their right, from their left, and from every direction in order to turn them away from the straight path. In order to somehow make them not follow the straight path. I will come at them from every direction. You know, like imagine if you are walking straight, all of a sudden somebody comes in front of you and tries to prevent you from going. So you turn towards the right a little bit and then they come to you from your right side, right? Then you turn to your left side, they come at you from your left side. You turn around, they come and face you from there. Any constant harassment, not quitting. This is how Shaitan comes after people, not leaving them. I will come at them from every direction. I will employ every way, meaning I will never stop. I will never stop. I will never leave them. In any condition of theirs, no matter what they're doing. And if you think about it, that's exactly what Shaitan tries to do. And you try to eat, and Shaitan wants to come there and participate in your food, right? You want to recite the Quran, even then Shaitan tries to hinder you, which is why you have to recite, you have to begin your recitation with, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, right? You try to enter your house, Shaitan wants to be there. There is never a time, never a moment, where Shaitan wants to leave you. This is how eager Shaitan is to mislead the children of Adam. He is an enemy who does not rest. And what is he trying to do? Always turn you away from the straight path. In Surah Fatir, ayah number 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that إِنَّمَا يَدْعُوا حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ That Shaitan only invites his party, meaning those who obey and follow him, to where? Where is he calling them to? So that they end up becoming the inmates of the blaze. And he's constantly turning people away from the straight path so that they end up in the blaze. Now, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, explained that مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ I will come at them from before them, مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ means that I will put them in doubt about what is before them. What is coming up ahead? And what is it that's coming up ahead? The Day of Judgment, the hereafter. So what does Shaitan do? Shaitan tries to put us in doubt about the realities of the hereafter. Like, for example, to some people, he convinces them that, oh, there's no resurrection, there's no paradise, there's no hell. To some, he says, what if there is no paradise? What if there's no hisab? Or what if Allah just overlooks you completely? And what if, like, you know, you're never held accountable for any of your sins. And what if none of this happens and everything's good? So enjoy a little right now. Or he puts them in doubt about the mercy of Allah, the forgiveness of Allah, so they completely despair. And how many people there are who say, oh, I'm going to hell anyway, so I might as well enjoy myself here in this world right now. So Shaitan confuses people and puts them in doubt about what is in front of them, what is coming up ahead, meaning the hereafter. وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ And from behind them, Ibn Abbas explained, this means that I will come to them from behind them, meaning I will turn their attention constantly toward the world. Because if you think about it, every single one of us is on a journey. We're moving ahead with every moment of our lives, right? We're moving closer to our death, our final destination, and we're leaving what? The world behind. So what does Shaitan do? He tells us to keep looking back, to keep looking back at the world and what we're missing out on and what we're leaving behind so that we cling to it and we run after it and we chase it and we try to seek pleasure through it and our heart is constantly attached to it, and we worry about it, we are sad because of it. وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ Ibn Abbas explained, وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ And I will come at them from their right, means that I will confuse their religion for them. I will come at them from their right-hand sides, meaning I will confuse their religion for them. I will make them lazy about doing good things. So when it comes to their deen, the right side, I'm going to make them confused so that they're like, oh, I don't know what's right and I don't know what's wrong. You know, there's so many opinions out there and it's just also confusing, so I really can't be bothered. Or sometimes people know what they should do, but shaitan makes them lazy in doing good deeds. وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ means I will come at them from their left side, meaning I will make their sins enjoyable for them. Because in the hereafter, the right hand means what? Your record is given in your right hand means that it's got more good deeds, right? And left, the record being given in the left hand means that there's more sins, right? So shaitan will said that he will come to people from their left hand sides, meaning from the side of sins. And he will make the sins very enjoyable for them, very pleasing and attractive to them. So this is one interpretation. Another interpretation is that I will come to them from before them, مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ, meaning what remains of their lives, okay? And with regard to their future. So I will not let them spend the rest of their years in obedience to Allah. I will not let them spend the rest of their years in increasing and doing good things. وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ means what has passed of their lives. So how often it happens that shaitan distracts us, makes us forget the sins that we have committed, so we don't even feel bad, we don't remember them, and we don't repent. وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ from their right side means their wealth. So I will not let them spend their money in good causes or something that will have a lasting benefit. And so many people get affected by this, that they have money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with wealth, but they don't spend it wisely. They don't spend it wisely. They end up wasting it here, there, on random, useless, temporary things that bring very temporary benefit. And these are all lost opportunities. And وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ from their poverty. And I will come to them from the side of poverty and neediness. So when they find themselves in situations of need, they will yearn for what is unlawful and they will eagerly take it. Another interpretation is that مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ means that I will increase their hopes and wishes. That, oh, there's plenty of time. I got a long life ahead of me. I'm only 20 years old. I'm only 30 years old. I'm still young. Or let me do this and then do that and then do this and then do that. I have this bucket list of, you know, things that I want to do. And any spare time that a person has, they end up wasting it in just pursuing their hopes and wishes. And of course, what I mean by that is worldly things. وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ from behind them, meaning I will have their ignorance take over them. So whatever decisions they make will be based on their ignorance. وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ from their right side, meaning through what is easy for them. Because majority of the people, right-handed, right? So it's easy for you to do things with your right hand. So I will come at them through what is easy for them. And subhanAllah, certain things are very easy for you. Like for example, for one person, reciting Quran can be very easy for them. But even through that, shaitan will come by corrupting your intention or by having you boast about it. وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ and from their left side, meaning through what is hard for them, by making it incredibly hard or making a person feel that it's harder than it is. Shaitan has vowed to mislead us, to make trouble for us from everywhere, all directions, through all avenues, good and bad. And anything good you want to do, shaitan will try to corrupt it. Anything bad you want to do, shaitan will cheer you on. And think of it this way, that no matter what direction you go in, no matter what path you take, you're going upstairs, shaitan is trying to come. You're going downstairs, shaitan is trying to come. You're going to the masjid, shaitan is coming. You go to the mall, shaitan is coming. And no matter what you do, you open up your phone, you open an app, you turn on your computer, you start to cook, you sit with your family. No matter what you try to do, good or bad, or even neutral, shaitan will find a way to ruin it for you, to make it a source of sin for you. So what does that mean? That means you have to be on high, high alert all of the time. Never forget that shaitan is there to try to make you slip. When you try to do something good, shaitan will try to prevent you from it, or delay you from it, or make you lazy in it, or corrupt your intention, or afterwards make you show off. When you intend to do something bad, then shaitan is also there on that path to encourage you, to cheer you on, to give you more hopes and desires, and to convince you that somehow all of this will work out. So what does that mean? That means be on high alert, and you are not enough to protect yourself, by the way. You have to ask Allah to protect you from all sides. You know, the Prophet ﷺ would pray in the morning and in the evening, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyata fi dunya wal akhirah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal afiyah fi dini wa dunyai wa ahli wa mali. Allahumma istur awrati wa amir rawati. Allahumma ihfazni. O Allah, guard me. From where? Min bayni yadayya. From before me, wa min khalfi, and from behind me, wa an yamini, and from my right hand side, wa an shimali, and from my left hand side. Wa min fawqi, from above me, wa a'udhu bi'azamatika an ughtala min tahti. Now notice over here, shaitan said, I will come at them from before, from behind, from their right, and from their left. He did not say above and below. Why? Because he knows he can't. He cannot come to you from above. Because if he tried, Allah's mercy would prevent him. Allah is above us, right? Allah's mercy would prevent him. He does not come from below. Why? Because shaitan does not like to lower himself. All right? So this means that when it comes to you lowering yourself before Allah, humbling yourself in a situation, shaitan cannot win over there. He cannot interfere over there. Humility is the key to goodness, key to success. And when you call upon Allah, when you raise your hands before Allah, when you make dua, when you do something good and you ask Allah to accept it, then again, shaitan cannot come between you and your Lord. Shaitan cannot come between you and your Lord. So you have dua, you have sajda, where shaitan cannot interfere. And the fact is that even if you slip with regard to what is before you, behind you, to your right, to your left, and you will, then what will save you is when you lower yourself before Allah, when you make sajda and you make dua, you ask Allah to forgive you. There's a narration in Musnad Ahmad in which we learn that Iblis said that by your honor and your might, I will never cease to mislead the children of Adam as long as their souls remain in their bodies. So Allah Azza wa Jal replied that by my honor and by my might, I will not cease to forgive them as long as they keep seeking forgiveness from me. And in order to seek forgiveness from Allah, what do you have to do? You have to lower yourself and you have to ask Allah to forgive you. So shaitan cannot come from these two directions, from above or from below. Now shaitan also said, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. And you will not find most of them, meaning most of the children of Adam, to be those who are grateful. Plural of shakir, those who do shukr. And think about it, this statement is very true. Majority of the people are not grateful. How did shaitan know that majority of the people will not be thankful to Allah? How? On what basis did he claim that وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ? Did he know the future? No, he didn't. Then how did he say that? Because this was his expectation and his hope. This was his goal, that he will not let people be grateful. And he was expecting and hoping that that is how things will be, that majority of the people will not be grateful. So he said this as an assumption of how people will be. And yes, his assumption turned out to be true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Saba, verse number 20, that وَلَقَدْ صَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسُ ظَنَّهُ فَاتَّبَعُوهُ إِلَّا فَرِيقًا مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That Iblis confirmed through them his assumption, meaning the assumption that Iblis had about the children of Adam turned out to be true. So yes, they have followed him, except for a party of the believers. Now, one question is, why did he think that people will not be grateful? Why was ingratitude Iblis's goal? Because Iblis knew that people are weak and that they can forget. So he thought that they will not be grateful. All right. And this is why he sees this as an easy way to mislead people through ingratitude. Ingratitude is the quickest, the easiest way of turning people away from Allah. And in contrast, gratitude is the fastest way back to Allah. This is why in every salah, in every rak'ah, what is it that we recite? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise and thanks is for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Gratitude. Why? Because gratitude is the fastest way back to Allah. And in contrast, when people are ungrateful, then what happens? They end up going far away from Allah. It's the easiest and quickest way of turning people away from Allah, misguiding them and taking them away from Allah. And if you think about it, gratitude is actually a very, very important skill. It's actually a skill because it can be learned through practice. And some people, their thinking is negative thoughts are automatic, right? They become automatic. But through practice, a person can train themselves to break those patterns and learn to be grateful, right? And a simple way of practicing gratitude is to do like a simple gratitude exercise every day. That every day you think about, you write about 5 or 10 things that you are grateful for that happened today, that went well today, right? And slowly, gradually, you train your brain to notice things that are good, that are in your favor, that are enjoyable, and slowly, gradually, you realize that you have your gratitude glasses on, right? And with that, you're able to see the blessings of Allah. And for mental well-being, okay, gratitude is the most important thing. It's the key to wellness. If you think about it, when it comes to relationships, what is it that keeps relationships healthy and strong? It's gratitude. When people don't remember each other's favors, when they don't notice each other's acts of kindness, then relationships become sour. For your emotional, for your mental well-being, gratitude is extremely important. And this is why Shaitan said, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Because shukr, gratitude, what does it do? When you're grateful to Allah, not only do you feel loved, you feel like you belong, you feel lighter, and you have good expectation of Allah, right? You think more positively, you feel more motivated to obey Allah, to help others, to be of benefit to others, because you feel like you are so blessed that you cannot just sit and mope and cry about, one thing that's bothering you. In contrast, what does ingratitude do? Ingratitude makes a person anxious, makes a person lonely, makes a person sad, makes a person worried. And it brings about so many negative feelings. And the benefit of shukr, the benefit of gratitude, is that it decreases. And when your shukr goes up, these negative feelings, they go down. So Shaitan said, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. And shukr is not just about being grateful for the blessings of Allah, that verbally you express gratitude or that you just feel gratitude in your heart. Shukr is practiced, right? Worshipping Allah is a part of shukr. Tawheed, worshipping Allah alone, this is also from shukr, right? And the opposite of shukr is what? Kufr. Not just denying the blessings of Allah, but denying Allah, refusing to prostrate to Allah. So, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. And this shows us that being on Sirat al-Mustaqim requires shukr. Okay? Shukr is a sign that a person is on Sirat al-Mustaqim. And when a person is not grateful, that means that they're not on the straight path. They're being turned away from the straight path. And when you look at Surah Al-Fatiha, it begins with what? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The first thing we're taught is that we praise and thank Allah. And then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. So gratitude is extremely important for hidayah. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. So majority of the people are kafirin. They're not shakirin. قَالَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أُخْرُجْ مِنْهَا مَذْؤُومًا مَدْحُورًا. Get out from it as one despised, as one expelled. أُخْرُجْ مِنْهَا. Get out from it, meaning from السَّمَوَات, from Jannah, and from being near Allah, not in a way that is honorable. No, get out from here humiliated. How? مَذْؤُومًا مَدْحُورًا. مَذْؤُوم from ذَال هَمْزَة ميم. And مَدْحُور from ذَال حَارَة. مَذْؤُوم is someone who is disgraced and humiliated, because ذَم is to reproach and condemn someone. So مَذْؤُوم is someone who, on whom is the wrath of Allah, someone who has been reproached and condemned for their evil, and someone who is disgraced and humiliated as a result of that. مَدْحُور, دُحُور is to drive someone far away. So مَدْحُور is the one who is driven far away, meaning the one who is banished and expelled. Expelled from where? From the mercy of Allah and from every good thing. Subhanallah. أُخْرُجْ مِنْهَا مَذْؤُومًا مَدْحُورًا. The Iblis was trying to magnify himself. He was doing takabbur. And what happened to him? He was humiliated and disgraced. And he was banished and removed from the mercy of Allah and from every good thing. قَالَ خُرُجْ مِنْهَا مَذْؤُومًا مَدْحُورًا. Driven far away. لَمَنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever follows you among them. لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I will surely fill hell with you altogether. Now look, shaitan is trying to, you know, threaten Allah, get back at Allah, right? By saying that فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي, you misled me, I am going to sit on your straight path. I'm not going to let them go on the straight path. And I am going to come at them from every direction. And look at how daring he is and how he is speaking against Allah. And how deluded he is, right? And how he is speaking against Allah. And what does Allah say? أُخْرُجْ مِنْهَا مَذْؤُومًا مَدْحُورًا. These threats are not going to harm Allah, because Allah is not in need of your worship or the worship of any creature. Allah is not in need of their gratitude. Allah is not in need of their striving, because إِنَّكُمْ لَن تَبْلُغُوا ضُرِّي فَتَضُرُّونِي وَلَن تَبْلُغُوا نَفْعِي فَتَنْفَعُونِي. That all of you, human beings and jinn, you can never reach a point where you can harm me. You can never reach a point where you can benefit me. So if shaitan misleads all human beings, that is no loss to Allah. It does not harm Allah. And if shaitan fails and all people are guided, that does not benefit Allah. That does not increase him in his power, in his might. Does Allah not say that if the first of you and the last of you and the men among you and the jinn among you, meaning all of you, were to become as righteous as the most righteous person among you, that would not increase me in my mulk. And if all of you, the first of you, the last of you, the humans among you and the jinn, all of you were to become like the most wicked person among you, that would not reduce me in my dominion at all. So this is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Iblis, أُخْرُجْ مِنْهَا مَذْؤُومًا مَدْحُورًا. Get out of here. These threats don't mean anything. Even if you manage to mislead all of mankind, you can't hurt Allah. You can't harm him. Because whoever follows you from among them, لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمْ. لَأَمْلَأَنَّ from ميم لام همزة. مَلَأْ مِلْ. مِلْ is the fill of something. So I will fill up hell with all of you altogether. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore, لَأَمْلَأَنَّ. There's an oath over here. He swore that the fire, Jahannam, is the home of the disobedient. All who follow Iblis will be admitted into hell, no matter how many they may be. So this is what became of Shaitan. He turned against Allah, becoming an enemy, and in acting on his jealousy and acting on his anger, he vowed to mislead all of mankind and to work relentlessly to prevent them from the straight path. Now what happened to Adam alayhi salam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَيَا Adam, and O Adam, أُسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. Dwell you and your wife in Jannah. And in Jannah, فَكُلَا, then both of you eat, مِنْ حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا, from wherever you both want. Meaning in Jannah, you can eat from wherever that you want. But وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Do not go near this tree. This particular tree, don't go near. Because if you do so, فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ, you will end up becoming wrongdoers. So Allah commanded Adam and Hawa that basically they can eat in Jannah wherever they want and enjoy themselves with whatever they please, except for one particular tree. He forbade them from even going near it. Now, what is this Jannah? Where is it? Some say that this was a garden in the world, but that is not correct, because this Jannah was up above. Later on, when we learned that they were expelled from Jannah, they were told ihbitu, which is to get down. So go down from above. So at this point, Adam a.s. had not been placed on the earth. And the shajara, the tree that they were forbidden from, الشجرة, هذه الشجرة, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pointed out the tree very clearly, so that Adam and Hawa would have no confusion, they would have no doubt about its prohibition. And some ulama say, هذه الشجرة means this one particular tree or one particular kind of tree, that wherever you find it in Jannah, stay away from it. Or this one singular tree, stay away from it. Now, which tree was it? And what fruit did it grow? Was it apple? Was it pomegranate? We don't know. And it does not matter. Because at the end of the day, what matters is not what Allah has forbidden, but the fact that He has forbidden something. And whatever that He has forbidden on us, regardless of what it is, we are to stay away from it. Now, the Bible says that it was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay, the tree of knowledge. Which knowledge? The knowledge of good and evil. And the Bible says, this is in the book of Genesis, that Adam was told, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. And the Bible says that when they ate from it, the eyes of both of them were opened, meaning they were able to see and notice things, and they were able to see what is good and what is bad, as if God did not want them to learn, as if God did not want them to become aware. And it is such fabrications in the Bible that have made the church inherently against knowledge, right? And the church is at odds with using reason, logic. It is against science and discovery. And this is why, historically speaking, the Christians have persecuted and killed so many people of knowledge. And our deen teaches us what? The first revelation was what? Iqra, read. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alladhi 'allama bil qalam, the one who taught by the pen. Noon wal qalam, Allah swears by the pen. The Quran invites us. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ, will you not use reason? Will you not understand? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَذَكَّرُونَ, يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to understand, to use our minds, to learn, to reflect. Allah honors and praises the people who have knowledge. هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. The one thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to pray for increase in is what? وَقُلْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Say, O Allah, increase me in knowledge. My Lord, increase me in knowledge. So when you look at the narrative in the Bible, it's very obvious that it's as though God does not want people to learn. And this is completely false. These are fabrications in the Bible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He made Adam alayhi salam, one of the first things He gave Adam alayhi salam was what? Ilm, knowledge. وَعَلَّمَ Adam al-asma kullaha. Allah gave Adam alayhi salam the knowledge of all things. So what tree was it exactly? We don't know. And it doesn't matter. The main thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put Adam and Hawa in Jannah. Why? In order to make them understand and realize who their enemy is and how their enemy comes after them before sending them to the world. Because Iblis vowed to mislead Adam and his children. He vowed that he would wait on the straight path for them and turn them away. So it is out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that before He sent Adam and Hawa to the world, before He put them there, He made them aware of what their home is going to be, which is Jannah, right? And He also wanted them to be aware of how Shaitan comes after them. So everything was allowed for Adam and Hawa except for one tree. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, do not go near this tree even. Because if you go near, what is going to happen? You're going to be tempted to eat from it. So don't even go near it. This is the only one singular prohibition. And if you do so, فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ, you will become of the wrongdoers. The Bible says, if you eat, you're going to die. And that is not true. فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ means that if you were to eat of this tree, you will end up becoming wrongdoers, meaning you will end up doing wrong to yourself. Because when a person disobeys Allah, who do they wrong? Themselves. And this is why we see that later on, when Adam and Hawa confessed their mistake, what did they say? رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We have wronged ourselves. How? By disobeying you. So to disobey Allah is to do ظلم on oneself, not on Allah. Allah is not harmed by our disobedience. All right, let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
قَالَ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنظَرِينَ قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ قَالَ اخْرُجْ مِنْهَا مَذْءُومًا مَدْحُورًا لَمَنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ وَيَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةَ فَكُلَا مِنْ حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ فَتَكُونَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ